patted my hand and headed for the door that led to the showroom of her shop. You know, I have just the clasp that will hold this together for you. Give me a second and I'll grab it from the display. Clasp? But we didn't even decide what metal. She closed the door and I heard the audible click of a lock. What in the actual hell? The back door that led to the parking lot opened, and Jackson walked in. My heart jumped, like someone had used the paddles to get a rhythm back. I'd miss this man so much that I wasn't sure I was still a complete person. He closed the door behind him but didn't throw the lock. Instead, he faced me and leaned back against it, which pretty much felt like the same thing. His face was clean-shaven, his baseball hat was on backward, and his MIT t-shirt stretched across muscles I knew all too well. Every single part of him looked good enough to eat. But his eyes? Those brought me to my knees. They were red-rimmed and swollen. He looked haunted. I thought you left today, I said, breaking the silence but not the tension.
5 hours,
he answered, tucking his hands in his pockets. Finley?
Claire and Bree took her up to the water park. Figured keeping her busy would be best.
He swallowed.
We set our see-you-laters this morning to make it easier on her.
I'm so sorry. That explained the swollen eyes. My heart ached for him.
Thanks. I put your number in her cell phone. She asked for it. The phone's only for deployments, so we can FaceTime, and I doubt she'll bother you.
It's fine. I'll pick up whenever she needs me. I missed Finley just as much as I missed Jackson, and I hadn't been prepared for that. Hadn't been prepared for any of this. He pushed off the door and came toward me, but stayed on the opposite side of the line of work tables that divided the small room in half. My gaze flew to the door.
You can leave at any time. I'm not trying to trap you. Just talk to you,
he said softly, bracing his palms on the table between us. Nothing's changed. It couldn't. It didn't matter how I felt about the incredible man standing in front of me. Survival had to be my first priority.
I know.
He nodded, a slight smile curving his kissable lips as his eyes dropped to the necklace he'd given me.
I didn't really get a chance to talk last time. And while you're free to walk out that door any second you see fit, I'm really hoping you'll give me 5 minutes.
5 minutes? My pulse jumped.
5 minutes with this man was dangerous to my heart.
But didn't I owe him that? Hell, I owed him far more.
And you stay on that side of the table?
If he touched me, I'd be a goner.
5 minutes. And I stay on this side of the table.
He agreed. Deal. I tucked my hair behind my ear, wishing I'd worn it up today.
I love you, Morgan.
He nailed me with those eyes, and his words shattered what little defenses I had against him. Jackson, don't. I whispered as my heart thudded to life.
5 minutes.
He lifted the corner of his mouth into a sinfully sexy smirk. Ugh. I nodded.
First. I have a really bad habit of not telling you things first, so I'm telling you that Claire is living at my house with Finley while I'm gone.
I sucked in a breath, and that heartbeat that had started slugging its way to a dependable rhythm stuttered. 10 days. It had only taken 10 damned days,
Kitty. It's not what you think, and damn, that face is making me want to jump this table and hold you. But I made a promise, so I won't. Claire and I aren't together. We'll never be together. She's living at my place so Finn can keep her life as normal as possible. Plus, Juno raked her claws down Vivian's couch, so that option is off the table.
I smiled, then pressed my lips between my teeth so he wouldn't get encouraged.
She's moving out when I get back. It's just for Finley. And it's probably the most maternal decision she's ever made. After moving back. But now you know. So you won't be shocked when she's coming down the stairs or asking to borrow sugar. Not that she bakes. You'll probably see a ton of takeout.
I glanced toward the clock and raised my eyebrows. You're using your 5 minutes, Jackson.
You're right. Morgan, I love you. Taking a 3-month trip isn't going to change that. I'm not sure a lifetime would change that, honestly.
My eyes widened and my stomach tightened, but there was no anxiety, at least not yet. If it came to that, I was going to have to leave for my own good.
He didn't use the D word. And I understand why you had to end this, and I don't blame you for choosing your own health. You've earned every inch of ground you've gained, and it would kill me to take that from you. I never want to be the cause of your pain.
Thank you, I whispered, knowing I was now the cause of his. Weren't we just a pair?
You told me that if I loved you, I would walk out the door and wouldn't come back. But the truth is that I love you enough to walk out that door and come back.
My breath hitched.
You can give me up. That's okay. My love is strong enough to carry us both through this.
He leveled a look on me that said he was completely serious, and despite every plea my brain sent my heart, my posture softened. Defense is gone, his eyes flared, and he took a quick breath.
I'm not giving you up.
I'm sorry? My eyebrows reached for the sky. That's not your choice to make.
5 minutes.
He pointed to the clock. I folded my arms under my breasts and felt no small satisfaction when his eyes followed and heeded. 10 days hadn't squashed the chemistry between us. If anything, it apparently had the same effect as a starvation diet. I was ravenous. Hungry but not stupid enough to take the cheese from a time-delayed trap. He looked at the ceiling, and I could almost see him count to 5 before he locked eyes with me again.
Right, back to the point. I'm not giving you up, Morgan. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever if I have my way.
I scoffed and narrowed my eyes. Didn't he realize kidnapping was illegal?
I'm leaving on a trip in 5 hours, and as far as I'm concerned, I still have a girlfriend. And in case you're missing the point, that girlfriend is you.
He grinned, and my body temp rose. Damn it.
You think I'm leaving on this trip, and I'm not going to come back.
I swallowed and shoved the panic as far away as I could.
So you think that if you don't love me, if we're not together while I'm on this trip, you'll save yourself the heartache of that possible future. Bullseye. And I understand that too. If you want to shove that love you don't feel for me into a little box and file it away in your emotional basement so you can survive these next 3 months, then be my guest. It's not like I get a say anyway, right?
His words were at odds with the smirk he wore.
So fine. File me away, kitty. Live your life. Start your new job. Finish up your therapy and heal. But just like I can't make you stay with me, you can't stop me from loving you.
The man was insane. Maybe he was the one who needed therapy if he couldn't see that I was rejecting him. Are you, though? Nice necklace.
So that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to love you so hard that 3 months will be a pencil dot on our timeline.
Mercy.
I'm going to love you so well that you'll never doubt that I choose you every day, every situation. I choose you.
I melted. I'd waited a lifetime for those very words.
I'm choosing you today by telling you that your well-being is more important than my ego or my need for reassurance. I'll choose you every single day that I'm gone, every mission that I fly, every second that I breathe. You don't have to be with me. I'll be with you.
I swallowed. And what if I start seeing someone else?
Not that I was going to. Jackson was it for me. That's what made this whole thing so fucking impossible. 5 minutes.
He pointed to the minute remaining on the clock, and the pulse leaped in his neck. His knuckles widened, and his jaw ticked twice.
If you want to see someone else, then I guess that's your prerogative, seeing as you're single.
Well, that hadn't been the response I'd expected.
Did that mean he... As for me, I have a girlfriend I love more than life, so the only action I'll be getting is this hand.
He raised his right,
fueled by your picture and enough memories of making love to you to to last way longer than 3 months. You don't have to be mine. I'm yours.
My lips parted and my thighs buzzed. Stupid sex drive.
And you'd better tell whatever guy you date to be prepared for a fight, because the minute I get off that plane, I'm coming straight for you. When I tell you that I'm coming home, I mean it. And Morgan, you are my home.
His eyes churned with longing and resolve. Fuck my life. He was breaking down my own resolve. He glanced at the clock, 10 seconds. His eyes raked over me like he was memorizing every detail of my face and body. I couldn't help but do the same to him. This was it. He was leaving.
I choose you. And if I have to let you lose me so you can save yourself, then I'll hold on enough for the both of us. That's how much I love you.
Time was up. He gave me one last, longing look and walked toward the door. My heartbeat matched the rhythm of his steps. What if this was really it? The last time I saw him, what if I never had the chance to hold him again? To see the light in his eyes when he smiled, or the way his lips formed the words, I love you. What if this was the last? Everything. My soul screamed in protest and ripped her claws into whatever was left of my defenses. Jackson! I cried out as his hand reached the doorknob. He turned, and everything I felt was so clearly etched on his own face that I whimpered. Kiss me. He jolted forward but froze when I lifted a finger. This doesn't change anything. We are not together. And I know that makes this a really selfish, really screwed up request, but this trip? I blocked out the D word and lifted my chin. I want one last kiss. My hand fell to my side.
This isn't our last kiss.
In 4 strides, his hands were in my hair and his mouth was on mine. Home. Everything in my body sang at his touch. He felt so right under my fingertips as they laced behind his neck. I opened under him, then moaned as his tongue curled around mine with swirling, deft strokes. He kissed me so thoroughly, so deeply, that I couldn't remember why I'd ever stopped. Every time he moved to soften the kiss, to pull back or pause, I kissed him harder. Pulled him closer. This couldn't end. Not yet. Not while I felt alive and whole.
Morgan.
He growled when I reached for the hem of his shirt and slid my hands under it. I was met with smooth, soft, warm skin over tight, hard muscles. I gripped his waist and tugged, bringing him hard against me. Oh, and he was. His arousal pressed into my stomach, and my hand wrapped around it through the fabric of his shorts. Fire. I was on fire. My skin flushed, my breasts swelled, and my thighs dampened. He was a triple raspberry lemon drop, sweet on my tongue and going straight to my head, and I wanted more. I would always want more when it came to Jackson. Touching him had been a bad idea, but it felt so damn good.
Fuck. He groaned against my mouth as I stroked him. Morgan, baby, you have to stop. You're killing me.
I don't want to stop. I never wanted to stop. I wanted this moment to last forever. For there to be nothing beyond these walls that would rip us apart. I wanted an eternity in this little room with the man I couldn't have outside it. Jackson lifted me to the work table, stepped between my thighs and stole my thoughts with a deep, carnal kiss. He took control, slanting his head over mine and erasing the world with the stroke of his tongue and the rasp of his teeth. In this moment, I was his. We both knew it. His hand slid under my sundress and bra to cup my breast. I moaned my approval and then gasped when he abandoned our kiss only to tease my neck, my throat, my collarbone. I unsnapped. Then unzipped his shorts so I could feel him, hard, hot, and smooth against my palm.
Kitty.
He groaned, in part warning, part plea. I pumped him in answer. I was done with the warnings. We were in the eye of the hurricane that had become our lives, and if this was the only moment we had, I was taking it. His hands slid up my thighs and under my dress, lifting the hem to pull at my waist. Then he gripped my ass and yanked me forward, bringing us within one scrap of satin of what we both wanted. We locked eyes, and I nodded before his fingers slid under my panties and through the proof of my need. Fuck, you're drenched. His dick leaped in my hand. I whimpered and rolled my hips, gripping the back of his neck, worried he'd think about what we were doing and stop. I led the head of his arousal to my cleft, and he hissed, "You have no idea how badly I want you, but I don't have a condom. I wasn't exactly planning on this." His forehead rested against mine, his breaths ragged. "I'm on the pill. Please, Jackson." I rolled my hips against his fingers and he gave my clit a quick, hard flick of his thumb that made me clench him even tighter. "Are you sure?" he asked, looking me straight in the eyes so I couldn't pretend I didn't know what I was doing. Fuck me. I couldn't be any clearer than that. He raised an eyebrow. "If that's what you want to call it, I'll let you believe that." He dragged my panties down my legs and off, then tugged the waistband of his boxer briefs to just below his ass. Then he was at my entrance, throbbing and insistent, and his eyes were on mine, giving me one last out. "This doesn't change anything between us." I hooked my ankles around the small of his back and took his face in my hands as I rocked my hips forward, taking him inside me slowly. "Kitty, that's exactly what I've been trying to tell you." He gripped my hips and thrust forward, filling me completely. He swallowed my moan with his mouth, kissing me deep as he moved within me with hard, powerful strokes that sent pleasure radiating through my limbs and wound it tight at my core. "You feel so fucking good," he said against my lips, kissing me again when my whimpers became keening cries. Our bodies strained as we moved together, both giving and taking, clinging and saying goodbye. My muscles tightened as the pleasure built to a peak, and I tried to fight it, to make this last as long as possible. But Jackson reached between us and stroked me exactly like I needed. He knew my body, my cues, my needs the same way I knew his. I swirled my hips in time with his thrusts, and he groaned, our kiss breaking so we could breathe, but our lips staying close enough to brush as we fought for air, for time. Everything within me tightened, drew back like an arrow, and as I felt him swell within me and his thrusts lost that steady rhythm that meant he was close, I kissed him again, pouring into it everything I felt, but couldn't say. And then we were there, falling over the edge together in an orgasm that blew apart my body and my heart. He caught me, just like he always did, pulling me against his chest, before my body fell limp, then stroked me through the aftershocks of the bliss until the last waves drifted away. I buried my face in his neck as he stroked my back in long, soothing sweeps, slowly, like the trickle of winter air through a drafty door. The cold truth of the reality that waited for us sank in. He kissed me softly, then slid free. I'd never felt so empty in my life. He tucked himself away, then cleaned me up, and helped me back into my underwear, and what could have been awkward was just incredibly sad. "I love you." He cradled my face and took another chunk of my soul with the look in his eyes. "Do me a favor and check in on Finn once or twice while I'm gone." I nodded. How could I not? I loved her. "Thank you," he whispered. "This doesn't change. Shh." He kissed me quiet, then smiled. "I know. And I love you anyway. 3 months, Morgan." He kissed me hard and deep, then ripped his mouth from mine and strode for the door without looking back. I sank to the floor as the first tears fell. "Please, God, don't take him. I'll do whatever you want. Just don't take Jackson, too."
I wasn't capable of living in a world where he didn't. It wasn't possible. With careful breaths, I waited for the anxiety to come, but only fear and misery rose with my tears, and those grew to outright sobs. When Sam found me, I didn't question how she knew. I simply sank into her hug and cried until I was empty. "I know," she whispered, rocking me back and forth like a baby. "I know. It'll be over before you know it. I promise. You'll get stronger every day. Just hold on and breathe." Did she realize? Her words applied to us both. "You'll get stronger. It'll get easier." It became my mantra.
Chapter 26. Morgan. Just promise me that you won't let this break you. The idea of being your tragedy kills me. Sam left 2 weeks after Jackson did. She'd protested the entire time, swearing she could stay longer if I needed her. But she'd taken all the time away from her life that she could, and I wasn't going to make her miss a single day of graduate school. Besides, Dr. Searcy had cleared me from complicated grief treatment, and though I still saw her for anxiety, she assured me that the loss I still felt regarding Will was on a healthy, normal track. The loss I felt for Jackson? Well, that was of my own making. He'd been gone 3 weeks now, and breathing, it wasn't easier. And when the anxiety gripped my throat and threatened to close it, I took my mind elsewhere and reminded myself that I didn't have a boyfriend, so there was no need to be such a wimp about it. I climbed into the truck and cranked the ignition. It roared to life and I grinned. Today was the day, and since I had 3 weeks before school started, a brand new master bathroom and newly gutted spare bedrooms to make over, it was time to head to the hardware store. Seatbelt fastened and driver's seat adjusted from Will's last ride to my shorter frame, I put the truck in drive and drove. "What were you listening to?" I asked him as I flipped on the stereo. Johnny Cash filled the speakers and I laughed. "Of course you were." The scent of leather and Will still permeated the cab, so I rolled the windows down and let the humid ocean air fill the space as I drove the streets of the little town I'd decided to call home. I bought supplies, put them in the bed, and climbed back into the driver's seat. It was all so normal, and yet Will was still everywhere. It wasn't my truck, it was his. I brushed my thumb over his wings, not those. They deserved to stay. My eyes drifted to his dog tags. Carefully, I unwound them from the rearview mirror, clasped them tightly within my hand for a moment, then put them in the glove box and clicked it shut. A little less him, but it needed more me. I slipped my sea glass pendant from my neck, then secured the chain carefully around the mirror. The glass swayed like a pendulum. That was better. Now I was in here too, and so was Jackson. I parked the truck in my driveway, gathered what supplies I could carry, and trudged up my steps. "Oh, thank God," Paisley drawled from the deck chair. "I took a cab from the airport, and when you weren't here, I thought I was going to end up sleeping on your porch for the weekend." I dropped the bags and enveloped my best friend in a tight hug. "I'm so glad you're here." And I meant it.
"You want to explain that giant basket of bath bombs that arrived this morning?" Paisley asked as she sipped her tea. I glanced toward the obnoxious gift basket that took up at least 3 feet of counter space. "Nope." Her eyes narrowed. "Jackson." "I said I didn't want to explain." I gave her a sweet smile. "Uh-huh. And that giant teddy bear taking up the corner of your living room?" She motioned her head sideways. "Not talking about that behemoth either. What about the 3 boxes of classroom supplies on your dining room table?" She arched a blonde brow. "Maybe I bought those myself." I shrugged. "Maybe, but you didn't." Her mug clicked on my granite as she set it down. "That man is in love with you." "Well, then that's his fault now, isn't it?" And speak of the devil, my phone buzzed.
Jackson. Taking a bath yet? I snorted. Morgan. I wouldn't tell you if I was. Jackson. That's okay. I have a great imagination. Morgan.
You know, in some states, they'd consider this stalking.
I tapped my fingers on the granite, waiting for his response and blatantly ignoring the way Paisley watched me with a, that's what I thought, grin on her face.
Jackson. The minute you feel harassed, call the station and tell Captain Patterson.
Jackson. I'll get the message. Trust me. I frowned.
Was he being ridiculous and a little obsessive?
Yes. Did I want him to get in trouble for it? Of course not. Did I want him to stop?
That was another question entirely.
Jackson. Until then, I'll just be over here, picturing you in that new bathtub.
Morgan.
You are incorrigible.
Jackson. I think you might be catching on.
Morgan. Go save someone.
Jackson. I love you, Kitty.
I didn't answer, but I knew he never expected me to. That familiar ache consumed my soul and began to throb. It was more than longing, more than saying that I missed him.
That ache beat against my ribs with the force of my heartbeats, demanding that I acknowledge my emptiness.
I felt incomplete without him. He had a piece of me, and the rest noticed.
I put away my phone with a sigh and found Paisley staring at me with a little smirk.
You ready to talk about that yet? She asked.
Nope.
Fine, she sighed. So, what would you like to do today?
I'm not even sure what to do with myself without Peyton underfoot. A movie? A pedicure? I grinned. Grab your swimsuit. We can make the paddleboard yoga class that starts in 45 minutes. Her jaw dropped.
I knew she craved quiet since her life now had none, so we spent the next day curled up in the living room, reading as a summer storm made the tourist-heavy beaches quiet. The best thing about having a librarian for a best friend was that she didn't talk when there were books to be read. Page after page flew by as I devoured night and day, despite my better judgment. The book belonged in a display case, protected and preserved. But it felt like a betrayal to put it up without reading it, so I did. The only sounds were turning pages as we soaked in the quiet, and from time to time I would stop and pause over the beauty of a well-written line as I savored the last book in my binge of Virginia Woolf novels. I see you everywhere, in the stars, in the river. To me, you're everything that exists, the reality of everything. Though the confession belonged to a man who had never lived, published in a book that had been written over 100 years ago, my chest tightened and my breath caught because I knew that feeling with an intimacy that shook my very being. I saw him everywhere. He was in the ocean and on the beach. He was in my bedroom, in my kitchen, and in the clouds that blew by overhead. He was in the rain that pelted my glass and the sun that warmed the deck in the morning. Somewhere in the last 5 months, my existence had shifted. My center of gravity had moved. He was my reality of everything. Jackson. I closed the book and held it to my chest as an ache of longing consumed me.
What's wrong? Paisley asked from the other end of the couch, looking over her e-reader. How did you let Jagger fly again?
Her eyes widened, and she sat up, placing her tablet on the coffee table.
What do you mean?
He almost died. Will died saving him, so I'm asking you how you let him fly again. I held the book like a shield.
Well, I'm not sure you really let Jagger do anything, she muttered with a sigh.
You do. If you asked him never to fly again, he would. That's how much he loves you.
She pressed her lips in a line and looked around my house, her eyes never focusing as she thought about my question. I fell in love with Jagger just the way he was, and asking him not to fly would change him into someone I don't know. It's a part of him. I could no more ask him to stop flying than he could ask me to stop reading.
But reading won't get you killed, I challenged.
My heart almost did, she shrugged. You don't have to go to war to put your life in danger. You can just get in the car or walk down the street or step into the ocean.
But after,
What happened?
Aren't you scared? I whispered the question, afraid of the answer, afraid that I might be the coward in the pair of us.
Terrified, she admitted. Every time I see his scars, I'm reminded. Every time he flies, I hold my breath. I'm amazed I don't pass out some days.
But you put yourself through it anyway.
She sighed and adjusted the blanket over her lap.
I do.
How long does he have left on his flight school obligation? I didn't feign ignorance. 6 years? So he can't stop flying even if you asked him to? Her voice softened. I shook my head.
It doesn't matter anyway. We broke up. We're not together.
Her eye roll involved her entire head. Right. I can't go through it again. If something ever happened to Jackson.
I swallowed past the lump in my throat and slowed my breathing. Not today, Satan.
When Will died, he took my heart.
I know. She nodded with a sad smile.
But Jackson?
I pulled the book from my chest and laid it across my lap. He would take my soul. There wouldn't be anything left to keep me breathing.
She moved to my side and I turned so we sat shoulder to shoulder. You have to decide what's bigger, your love for him or your fear of losing him. And you'd think they'd go hand in hand, but they don't. My love for Jagger wins out by a hair, and it's the smallest darn hair, but it's there. I'd rather risk losing him than spend my lifetime not loving him.
Her green eyes locked on mine.
But I don't love Jackson, I whispered.
She took my hand.
Call it what you want. Whatever you feel, if it's bigger than your fear, then you grab onto it with both hands and you don't let go.
But what's the point? What if I do? And I'm not enough for him. What if I can't let go of the past? What if...
I sighed. She pinned me down with her gaze. What if you don't learn from that past?
I startled.
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, Morgan, she squeezed my hand gently.
There is someone who loves you, and he tells you every day, and you can't accept him because you're scared. Scared that you don't have a whole heart to give him. Scared that you won't be able to love him in the way he deserves. And he challenges you, and he pulls you out of your comfort zone, and the chemistry between you is obvious to anyone with eyes. And when your chance for happiness is staring you in the face, you push it away and blame the timing. You push him away because if you let yourself love him and he dies, you won't survive burying him. You know because you've done it before. You've buried the love of your life, and you'll be damned if you'll risk that kind of pain again.
She stared at me, daring me not to connect the dots.
Oh, God, I cried, crumpling in on myself as the pain of my own ignorance cut me to the core. I'd worked so hard to protect myself from feeling another loss like Will's that I'd become just like him. But instead of my heart being on the line, it was Jackson's. My first day of school, there were 2 dozen roses on my desk from Jackson. The note was simple. Today it begins. And yes, I'm singing Hot for Teacher all day long. X. Jackson. I scoffed, then laughed. The man never outright called, but he made his presence known in every way. He was tenacious. I'd give him that. Next to those glorious roses sat a small vase containing a single Gerbera daisy. He didn't have to tell me what to do with it. While my students had to wait outside for the bell to signal the beginning of the day, the kindergarten kids were allowed in 15 minutes earlier, and we were in that window. I took the flower down the hall, smiling at the other teachers and adjusting my lanyard so they could see I was one of them. I still wasn't sure who the hell decided I was mature enough to be a teacher, but I'd fake it until I made it. The kindergarten rooms were at the opposite end of the wing, and the noise was astonishing. I opened the door on the left and was met with a barrage of nervous parents and excited children, all scrambling to put away their supplies and find their backpack hooks. The redhead I was looking for spotted me over the heads of her classmates.
Morgan!
She parted the seas like the social butterfly she was and flew into my arms. I dropped down to her eye level, careful to keep my skirt from riding up.
You look amazing.
I held my finger out and she obligingly twirled in her fluffy skirt and sequined-covered shirt. Her hair lay in perfectly formed ringlets that I knew wouldn't last past the first recess.
"Mommy did my hair,"
she grinned. "You did a great job." I smiled up at Claire, who looked as uncomfortable as humanly possible. But she was here. She might be living in Jackson's house and sleeping in his bed, but she was doing it for the good of Finley. They weren't together. At least that's what I reminded myself to keep my claws sheathed. Besides, Jackson and I weren't together, so she had every right to sleep in his bed. Right.
"Thanks,"
she offered me a tight smile. Things weren't exactly easy between us, but I appreciated that she'd at least turned off her seek-and-destroy glare when it came to me. "Finley, your daddy sent this for you." I handed Finn the daisy, and her entire face lit up.
"It's beautiful,"
she drew out the word with reverence.
"He FaceTimed this morning. He told Mommy I could wear my skirt."
"Against my better judgment," Claire muttered, sending an obvious glance around the much less ostentatious outfits in the room.
"I'm putting it on my desk."
Finley carried the flower like it was a nuclear bomb, dodging her classmates every step of the way.
"Did you know you're supposed to volunteer?" Claire asked in a hushed whisper as I rose to my feet. "And not just every once in a while. They want classroom aides and story time readers, field trip chaperones, and I work. There are 1,000 sign-up sheets over there."
It can be a lot, but school resources aren't always what we'd wish. So having parents step in can really help stretch our budget, I explained with a small smile. "But you don't have to. That's the whole point of being a volunteer. And I know you're taking on a lot right now."
"Right. And all these other parents are just going to think I'm the loser mom who can't show up for story time Thursday. And they all know that I haven't been here as much as I would have liked. Gossip in a small town never dies." She pursed her lips.
"How well I know it. That was pretty much the story of my life. But the more you're here, the more they get to know you, the less they'll talk." She shook her head.
"How does Jax do all this and still get to keep his precious career?"
There was an edge of panic in her eyes. Oof, there went my stupid heart with the aching again.
"Well, first, be a little easier on yourself. Jackson hasn't been a kindergarten dad yet, so he hasn't done all this. It's brand new territory. Is something else stressing you out, Claire?"
The level of agitation seemed a bit unjustified. She warred with herself for a second, then sighed.
"I have an audition today, and they agreed to do it through video chat, which is pretty much unheard of. But the only time the director has is exactly when Finn gets out, and Mom has a doctor's appointment, and Bree has some meeting, so I'm going to have to cancel it. I'm trying so hard to do both, to figure out how to be Finley's mom and not lose my career, but..."
She shook her head and looked away. I bit my tongue and reminded myself that I couldn't judge her for the way she'd abandoned Finn for the last 5 years since she was here now and obviously trying her best. "Why don't I bring her home with me?" Her gaze snapped to mine.
"Really? Just leave her booster at the front office and I'll carry her home. No big deal. It's not like you live across the island, remember? Just come grab her when your audition is over."
I could get Finn's opinion on the paint colors for the guest room, and maybe even sneak in some shell hunting.
"I can't ask that of you," she protested, but there was a spark in her eye.
"Yes, you can. I love Finley. I love spending time with her, and honestly, you'd be doing me a favor." I lifted my badge, and I'm background checked and everything.
"But you and Jax," she hesitated.
I suddenly wished I had his pendant around my neck instead of in the truck. "This isn't about Jackson. It's about Finn." She glanced nervously as parents snapped pictures of every conceivable first of the morning.
"Okay, thank you. I guess I didn't realize it would be this hard. Or maybe I did, and that's why I stayed away so long."
"It's not a problem," I assured her. "I'm always available to help. If you'll let me." She flashed a Hollywood smile, but it was tinged with a note of desperation. I started taking Finley home every day.
Chapter 27. Jackson. There was no such thing as a 3-day weekend here, so the fact that it was Labor Day weekend made no difference to me. I sat in the operations center with my laptop, scouring the internet for the world's most obnoxious blow-up apple for Morgan's classroom. Hastings rolled his eyes every time I sent him on random missions, but he never complained. The guy's cast had been cut off last week, but he'd been denied his request to replace me down here. Honestly, I couldn't be pissed. This was my job, and like it or not, deployments were a part of it. A fact Morgan knew all too well, which didn't exactly work in my favor. Once I got home and had her back in my arms, it would be only a matter of time before we went through this again. Hell, I'd be up for lieutenant commander in 2 years, so a PCS wasn't going to be far behind. I missed both my girls like hell, and we weren't even halfway through this deployment. Seeing Finn's face every morning and night was its own special form of torture. I could see her, but I couldn't hug her, and each time the screen went black, hurt my heart more than the last. I'd missed her first day of kindergarten, which was something I'd never thought I'd say. But she'd had Claire, right? And Morgan. Fuck. I missed Morgan. I missed her smile and her laugh. I missed walks on the beach and the moments she'd open up. I missed waking up in the middle of the night with her body wrapped around mine and her head on my chest. Did I miss the sex? I was a guy, and it was the best of my life, so yeah, of course. But I missed the connection more. I would have given up sex for the rest of my life if it meant I could just hold her every day. I'd probably negotiate a few kisses, though. I missed her kisses so much I nearly groaned just thinking about them. She'd never been able to hide her feelings when her mouth was on mine. The fact that Finley spent her afternoons with Morgan gave me hope. Not that I was using my kid to keep my girlfriend or anything. I wasn't sure there was anything I could do to actually keep Morgan. But that didn't mean I wasn't fighting like hell. I'd meant every word I'd said to her the day I left. I loved her enough to carry us through this. Hell, I loved her enough to carry her through 1,000 of these. But I still hated myself for putting her through it. There weren't enough gifts in the world to make up for the spike in her anxiety attacks. But a giant blow-up apple still might help. You know girls like chocolate and flowers, right? Sawyer asked, smacking my shoulder as he took the seat next to me. I mean, if you're ordering blow-ups, there are way better models that serve way better purposes. I scoffed. Leave the man alone. He's long-distance wooing, Garrett remarked from the corner of the room where he was playing a video game. Just saying, Sawyer waggled his eyebrows. And who the fuck says wooing anyway? What is this, the 1800s? Wooing is the only word I can describe for what's going on over there, Garrett threw back. What else would you call constant effort with zero dates and zero encouragement? Harassment, Sawyer quipped, then cringed. Shit, that was a step too far. I leveled a look at him over my laptop screen. I said I was sorry. He put his hands up. We all like Morgan. We're all pulling for you. We all understand why she did what she did. And we all think she's worth it. Don't say we all like we sit around gossiping about Montgomery's love life, Garrett chided. I honestly didn't give a fuck if they approved of my actions or my relationship, or lack thereof. The only two opinions I cared about in the world were Morgan's and Finn's. Right. Thanks. He spun his chair to face the monitor behind me. You keeping an eye on Ingrid? She's starting to look nasty. I looked over my shoulder at the named storms heading our way. Nah, looks like she might skirt by the Bahamas, and she's only a 2. The boys at Clearwater will handle her. Jerry's got my eye, though. When the fuck had I become callous enough to think of hurricanes as rescues and aftermaths instead of destruction and lives lost? We were called in for storms every year up and down the coast, and it never failed to affect me. But I'd stopped panicking at model projections years ago. Sawyer whistled low. He's a big son of a bitch, and headed this way, if those models are right. The last thing Puerto Rico needed was another fucking hurricane, but we were here and ready to help if he hit. What do you think he'll end up at? Sawyer rocked back on his chair. That guy? Garrett slid his chair out from the console and peered at the monitor. He's going 5. Fuck that. 3, Sawyer countered. He'll lose steam as he passes over the islands there. He pointed to the model that took the storm south. Let's pray he doesn't hit them at a three. I looked at the models closer, and if he follows that middle projection, then I'm with Garrett. He's going big. Moreno skidded into the room, grabbing the doorframe. We've got a call. I shut my laptop. Time to save some lives. I cracked a yawn and reached for my phone when the notification went off. I'd already talked to Finn this morning, but the coffee hadn't quite kicked in yet. It was still weird as hell to see Claire in my home, moving around in the background. My screen flashed with Morgan's name, and I immediately smiled. Morgan. Why is there a giant apple in my classroom? I grinned. Jackson. Because you're a teacher. Duh. Morgan. This thing takes up my entire whiteboard space. I had half a mind to FaceTime her, but I knew she wouldn't accept. She never picked up my calls either. That was the demarcation line of our relationship. Text was fine, voice was not. Jackson. I don't believe you. A minute later, a picture came through of a giant red apple consuming her instruction space. Jackson. I failed to see the problem. Morgan. You are impossible. Jackson. I am in love with you. Just like it always did after I dropped the L word, the conversation fell quiet. At least she wasn't hot and cold. The woman made her choice and was sticking to her guns. Jackson. Are you leaving for Washington tomorrow? Morgan. Right now. I just stopped by to grab something. My chest tightened. I couldn't imagine how hard the next 2 days would be on her, and I wasn't even there to hold her hand. Jackson. I'm sorry I'm not there. Morgan. Me too. It was the closest she'd come to admitting that she missed me. Jackson. 8 more weeks. We'd already been here 7. She didn't reply. I grabbed chow, then headed to the op center for another fun day of briefings, workouts, and waiting to be needed. We saved you a seat, honey, Sawyer said as he patted the office chair next to him at the long conference table. Thanks. I slid in between him and Moreno, with Garrett just across the table. Every one of the 22 guys in this room was from our unit at Hatteras, and it was standing room only by the time the captain walked in. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, Patterson said as he stood at the head of the conference table. Daily brief is as follows. He launched into the mundane and saved the important stuff for last, probably so we didn't sneak out or fall asleep. Jerry continues to be our primary concern. Warren, you want to talk weather? The meteorologist stood and nodded, heading to the monitor. Jerry is absolutely a concern. We're predicting a Category 4 landfall, but if he follows this model, he could pick up speed in the warm waters here and elevate to a 5. Damn, if that thing came anywhere near us, it was going to level the place. I told you, Garrett mouthed. Shut up, Sawyer retorted. Either way, we're looking at widespread destruction from here, he pointed to a string of islands, to here, which means we'll need all hands on deck. We're hoping this model is correct and he'll miss us, but you know how finicky storms can be. He pushed his glasses up his nose. Sir, would you like to... Go ahead, Patterson said, his voice tight. Though this storm, he changed the monitor, and my stomach turned. Won't affect us directly, it is cause for concern, as you can see why. Holy shit, Sawyer muttered. How the hell did that happen? Garrett snapped, like Warren controlled the weather. To be honest, the projections were off, Warren answered. She went right around the Bahamas, picking up speed to a 3, and we thought she might spin off into the Atlantic, but... Well, early this morning, her winds measured 113 knots. His jaw ticked. Captain Patterson took pity on the guy and grabbed the remote from the monitor. These are only projections, and you all know how quickly the models can change. That being said... He clicked the remote, and the monitor changed to show the projected path. The entire room erupted with questions. I had my phone to my ear before I'd even cleared the room, leaving the briefing before I'd been dismissed. Pick up, pick up, I muttered. Morgan was already on her way to Will's ceremony. Jax? Claire's voice came through. You've got less than 48 hours. Get Finley and evacuate. Don't wait. Chapter 28. Jackson. There was nothing quite as ironic as an SAR pilot watching helplessly as a hurricane headed straight for his home while he was 1,000 miles away. Evacuations had been ordered yesterday. Finley and Claire had left earlier this evening. It was later than I'd wanted, but at least she'd gone. Vivian, however, was a diehard. She'd weathered every hurricane, including Irma, from her home. And since Bree took a volunteer position at one of the shelters on the mainland, that left Vivian alone. Alone with a Category 4 headed straight at her. I know this is killing you, especially those of you with families on Hatteras, but we just have to sit tight and see. Patterson told those of us who sat in the conference room, bleary-eyed, glued to the news coverage. I wasn't sure exactly what he thought would change. There weren't a lot of models forecasting anything but a direct hit on Hatteras in the next 12 hours. There was about an hour before my morning Finley call, and then I'd try to talk Vivian into getting the hell out of there. Not that she'd listen. The woman was probably planning a hurricane party. The reporter stood at the end of one of the smaller piers, getting pelted by rain as waves crashed at his feet. As you can see, the winds have increased here to 80 miles an hour, and it's very hard to stand. He leaned into the wind. We're seeing enormous white caps, and the surge is already approaching the tide line. Moron, Sawyer mumbled.
Right. And Ryan, could you tell us what makes this particular hurricane so dangerous to the Outer Banks?
The anchor asked through the earpiece.
Sure, Sarah. No matter what, we're looking at a massive impact here on Cape Hatteras. Even if Irene veers into the Atlantic over the next 12 hours, the storm surge is projected to be devastating because it will coincide not only with the high tide, but tomorrow is a full moon.
So, in effect, would you say that this is a perfect storm of sorts?
The anchor questioned as the reporter was hit with another wave. He's going to get knocked on his ass, Garrett noted.
Exactly. Hatteras has ordered all residents to evacuate, but we've been told that as many as 50% of the residents have not. All hospitals have been evacuated to the mainland, the ferries have shut down, and the bridges are only open to outgoing traffic. The residents here are being told that emergency services will not be available, and the governor has warned them that they are putting their lives at risk.
Shit, someone cursed behind me. And yet this dumbass is standing out there, Sawyer added. My foot tapped impatiently in my boot, and I decided the pressure in my chest wasn't going to ease up until we knew that Vivian had made it out.
And we've heard that some streets are already flooding,
the anchor prodded.
Yes. The low-lying areas are already taking on water, and as you can see, the sea is rapidly advancing.
He leaned back into the wind.
Ryan, we've just gotten news that Ingrid has been downgraded to a 3, the anchor announced.
There was a small sigh around the table, but it wasn't big. The difference of a couple of miles an hour in wind speed wouldn't mean as much as that storm surge.
That's great!
A wave slammed into both the reporter and the cameraman, sending them sloshing down the pier.
We told you, Sawyer said at the television like they could hear us.
I followed Patterson out of the conference room.
Sir, you cannot expect those of us with families to sit here.
I don't. I expect you to do your jobs.
Jerry has been downgraded to a 1, sir. Are you telling me that you think we'll be effective at rescuing people here, knowing our families are in danger at home?
His jaw flexed.
I'm telling you that until Jerry's path is certain, I can't do anything. Now, your daughter evacuated, right?
Yes, but not her grandmother.
I can't do anything about that, Lieutenant.
This is complete and utter bullshit. I don't care if you think Elizabethtown has this covered. It's bullshit, I snapped.
His eyes narrowed, and I knew I'd overstepped, but couldn't find it within me to give a shit.
There's nothing I can do. Replacements are on their way, but until they get here, or Jerry dissipates, no one is leaving this island. Do I make myself clear?
Crystal. I left him standing in the hallway and headed for my room, trying to calm down before I called Finn. The last thing she needed was me to worry her. Maybe she didn't even know Vivian had stayed. Once my pulse settled, I propped my phone up at the back of my desk and reached to dial Finley. Claire rang through instead.
Hey, I answered, putting the phone to my ear. I was just getting ready to call Finn.
I just checked on her. They're fine,
she said, sounding out of breath.
What do you mean you checked on her? I snapped.
Relax. I mean, I called and checked in.
That one's mine, she called out. My stomach hit the floor. Claire, what the fuck is going on?
I got a call for that sci-fi show. They want me.
I sucked in a deep breath and counted to three. Please tell me that you're not in L.A.
Just landed and got my bag. They said I could only have the role if I was here and ready to film this morning, so I caught the red eye out of Raleigh.
Holy fucking shit. Tell me you have my daughter, I shouted.
Jesus, Jax! Stop yelling. Of course I don't. You told me I couldn't bring her to L.A., remember?
I pulled the phone from my ear and stared at it like this might be an error. Where is Finley?
I left her with Mom. Hi, yes, I'm Claire Lewis.
I froze. Me, the guy with the lightning reflexes and the great judgment. The one who never got into a situation I couldn't get out of. I fucking froze.
Jax, are you there?
That hurricane is headed straight for them. My voice shook with the effort to not scream at her.
Psh, don't worry so much. Mom has lived through every major hurricane, and she said there is nothing to worry about. Besides, it's already been downgraded from what I can tell. They'll stay inside. It'll be fine. Stop overreacting.
I'm not fucking overreacting. You left our daughter with your mother on an island in the middle of a hurricane, and you want me to what? Calm down? I paced the small confines of my room.
God, have you always been this angry? I had your windows boarded up and secured your house, Jax. Everything is fine.
Rage filled every cell in my body. I don't give a fuck about the house. I want my daughter safe.
I don't have to sit here and listen to you yell. We're not married, remember? Finley's safe, Jax. You didn't grow up there. I did. Everyone freaks out, buys all the bottled water, and then the storm passes, we clean up, and move on. Your job has made you paranoid, baby. Now I have to go. My car just got here.
Go to hell, Claire. I hung up.
Chapter 29. Morgan.
Bury me at West Point, would you? My mom is going to say I should be in Alabama, but I belong at West Point. I'm asking you because I know that out of everyone I trust, you're the strongest, the most capable of picking that fight. And I need you to. I slipped into my dress and tugged the zipper up my side. It was a navy blue sheath with a boat neck collar and three-quarter sleeves. Classic. Demure. And exactly what Will would have wanted me to wear to his Medal of Honor ceremony. I clasped my pearls around my neck and applied minimal lip gloss. The ride from our hotel, just south of D.C., to the White House would take over an hour, so it wasn't like I couldn't reapply in the car if my lips got dry. I'd foregone mascara for the good of everyone. My FaceTime rang and Finley's picture popped up. Now there was a reason to smile. Good morning, Finn, I said as I rested the phone against the bathroom mirror. Hey, Morgan, she waved, her hair a riot of curls against her pajamas. Guess I was ready pretty early. What's up, Buttercup?
Not much. You said call when I want, right?
Her eyebrows rose in question. I glanced at the clock. Plenty of time. I sure did. How does Juno like the road? I asked as the tabby settled herself in Finley's lap.
She hates it here, she shrugged.
Travel is hard on kitties. I took the phone into the room and sat on my bed.
She peed on Grandma's shoes this morning, but she doesn't know yet. She's already mad about her leg, she whispered. That's why I'm upstairs.
I blinked. I thought your grandma didn't want to evacuate.
She didn't. She says we're safe.
What do you mean, we're safe? Nausea hit me hard from what I'd seen in the news reports. Vivian's place was anything but safe. They'd pulled out all emergency workers, shut down the hospital, and were preparing for landfall in the next 12 hours.
I'm at Grandma's, silly, she grinned. She said we'll get to watch the water rush under the house and everything.
Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. You're on Cape Hatteras? I tried to keep my face as relaxed as possible.
Yep. Mommy had an audition. so she went to L.A.
My jaw dropped before I managed to close it. So it's just you and Grandma?
Yeah, but she's downstairs.
Her voice dropped to a whisper again.
She fell off the ladder a little bit ago. It's so windy.
Mercy God. Please, mercy.
Is she okay?
Finley pursed her lips, then sighed.
It took forever to scoot to the couch.
Her face fell.
She told me to go upstairs and play because it hurt so bad.
My thoughts raced. Okay, I want you to take me to her. Go downstairs and take the phone.
I'll get in trouble.
No, you won't. I promise. Go. She sighed, but did it. The phone bounced at different angles as she plodded down the steps.
Grandma, Morgan wants to talk to you.
The phone moved forward, and Vivian came into view. She was on the couch, just like Finley had said.
Morgan?
She was pale as hell, and the lines of her face were etched with pain.
How are you, dear?
How hurt are you? I asked, throwing manners out the window.
Oh, it's nothing.
She tried to force a smile. Vivian, please, you have Finley, so let's not beat around the bush. My hand gripped my phone so tight, I was surprised it didn't crack.
I think I broke something, she says quietly.
I can't move anything from my hip down.
Shit.
Did you call 911?
They pulled all the emergency responders, dear. It's okay. We'll just wait it out.
Her eyes closed as she breathed heavily.
Sorry. It's a bit uncomfortable.
What were you doing on a ladder? I asked, unable to stay quiet.
There's more that goes into hurricane prep than boarding up windows, young lady.
Her lips pursed. It's going to be days until someone can get to you if you guys don't get out now. Can you drive? Or call someone who can. She shook her head.
I can't move. And I'm not calling people to leave the safety of their homes. The winds are already up around 80 miles per hour. Now don't you worry that pretty little head of yours. I've weathered far worse hurricanes than this one.
The phone beeped on their end.
Oh, that's Daddy. I'll talk to you later, Morgan,
Finn exclaimed. She didn't wait for me to say goodbye. My screen went black. My chest heaved and my mind raced. I'd seen Vivian's house. It was only a block or two from the sound, and the reporters had just said the surge would be unprecedented. She was immobile, and she had Finn.
Go!
The urge punched me in the gut. And do what? They'd close the bridges to incoming traffic. Was there anyone I could call? Christina had already evacuated, and I would never ask her to put herself in danger.
Go!
The urge filled me with unreasonable urgency. Instinct? Worry? Overreaction? Maybe all three. How the hell had Claire left Finley on an island facing a hurricane? Oh God, what if something happened? There were no emergency responders. No Jackson. He had to be sick with worry. And what the hell was I doing? Sitting here in my hotel room while that storm barreled toward them? She's not your daughter. There's nothing you can do. It didn't matter that I loved her. I had no control over the fact that Claire had left her there like an inconvenient carry-on in an overfull plane. Finn might not be mine, but she was Jackson's. And while I might not be Jackson's, well, he was mine.
Go!
I scrambled off the bed and threw things into my suitcase. The dress had to go. Knock, knock. I was mid-unzip as I reached the door and found Paisley and Sam on the other side.
Come in.
The zipper was down by the time I was back to the bed.
Hey, are you ready to...
What are you doing? Paisley asked.
Finley's on Hatteras. Claire left her there. I stepped out of my dress and let it fall to the floor. Vivian fell and broke something. I think it's her leg.
Sam's eyes widened, and she quickly shut the door.
Oh my God. Did they call someone? Emergency services were pulled 2 hours ago. There's no one. You're not thinking of going down there, are you?
Paisley questioned. I stepped into the only jeans I'd brought and yanked them up my legs. A shirt came next.
Morgan!
Paisley yelled.
I can't stay here and do nothing, Paisley. Hatteras is 6 hours away, probably less, since I'll be the only one going that direction. At least there's no traffic, right? I can make it before the storm hits. Socks. You can't be serious. Paisley's eyes flew huge. Morgan, tell me you're not serious. You can't just drive into a hurricane. Sure I can. I grabbed my shoes, thankful I'd packed some sensible sneakers, and put them on. I have the truck, not the mini. The storm surge will start about 2 to 2.5 hours from landfall, which means I looked up at the clock. 8.5 hours to get to Vivian's and get them back to my house. That's a 2.5 hour window for error. Plenty of time. I hopped up and raced to the bathroom, throwing my toiletries into a bag and pausing long enough to pull my hair up so it wouldn't get in the way. I can't let you do this! Paisley stood there shaking her head.
What would you do if it were Peyton?
Paisley sucked in a breath. I can't leave her. I won't sit here and do nothing. I tossed everything else I saw into the suitcase and swung my purse over my shoulder.
You'll blow away! The winds are already throwing reporters left and right.